Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I have a bonus, overrated, underrated, properly rated. Putting an apple in the refrigerator and then enjoying it that way. Underrated.
I keep my apples in the fridge.
Do you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Does everybody do that? Am I just missing out here?
No, I think I'm always amazed when you go to someone's house and you find what they keep in the fridge and what they don't keep in the fridge. Like
first thing I do when
peanut butter.
Check out their fridge. What do you got?
Adam keeps his sex toys right in the fridge.
I mean, yeah.
Oh, look. Okay. Mr. You use those lines on me all the time. And I would just.
Not on the air.
Oh. Do you keep them in the freezer? Or
probably
more
take down that blog, Adam.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, speaking of blogs.
Where do you hide it?
David Martinez. So David was on the show last week. Which day was that?
Thursday.
And this is after the news had come out that the St. Paul City Council candidate had been removed from the George Latimer Library and banned for a month, had been removed from Target Field and had been banned for a year. The video of the Target Field video, at least in Minnesota, went viral, right? It's not like it went nationwide viral, but there were plenty of people talking about it. We reached out to Mr. Martinez, and it was a combative, contentious interview. It is still available to you. WCCORadio.com is still available on our show page, Facebook.com/Chad Hartman Show. News has come out that on the 4th of July, a conflict took place between Martinez and his wife, where his wife called police report an assault, and they contacted her over the weekend. And they contacted over the weekend because David Martinez decided to go revenge porn and posted a topless photo of his wife with criticism of her and her actions, and also Adam and Lindsay, listing the link to the restraining order and pointing out that she just lied completely about it. So what happened today? As Adam is pointing out, police arrested him after he posted the photo. But then this afternoon, Ramsey County attorneys had decided not to charge him and sent the case back to police for more investigations. You've also had the mayor, Melvin Carter, asking Martinez to step out of the race. His opponents asking him to step out of the race. We taped the interview with David Martinez, and I debated afterwards whether we should run it because I wasn't sure, to be blunt, about his stability. And I'm all for radio that's going to stand out, be memorable, and be different and unique. In the end, I ran it. I think I made the right decision. His continued actions are troubling, and this one should be criminal. You should not be allowed to do this. We've talked about revenge porn so many times in this show, and it is disgusting. It is deplorable. Hey, hot take. People in relationships have problems. Happens all the time. Most people don't go to the scumbag level of let's just post a photo. A complete naked photo of my present girlfriend, my present wife, or an ex. That's pathetic. And I hope this isn't going to be punted and that there will be more investigation done. He didn't exactly put this out there in a limited way, Adam. It's on his blog. It's right there available. And if David Martinez needs help, then he should get that help because he's got some serious anger issues. And he can say he's speaking out when he feels like people are being targeted because of the color of their skin. I'm all for that. We got another just awful story this weekend. It's CVS where a white person is upset at a black person about a coupon. Okay, if it turns out the coupon has expired or it's not valid, you have that conversation. You don't need to call the police. So if Martinez and others want to stand up, that's fine. But how they do it, threatening violence, using the R word, just like you're willing to defend others, but then you're going to mock people with disabilities. But, I mean, the guy has no chance right now to be elected. Name recognition is fine, but he's embarrassing himself. He's hurting people. He's being cruel to people. When you look at this story right now, Adam, what jumps out?
Just a guy that needs help.
Yeah.
But it doesn't absolve him of the things he's done. Certainly not. I mean, that's, again, it's disgusting behavior. But if it's mental health or help with alcoholism.
Or anger.
Anger, all of the above. I hope he gets it, and I hope he straightens out his life. But it does not absolve him of the criminal act of posting nude photos of his ex-wife.
And
whoever he is.
Potentially assaulting her, too, right?
Yeah. Oh,
and threatening harm. And then mocking people with disabilities, right? So both can take place. Help and also face repercussions for your actions. 9 past 2. Here's Adam with an update. The entire first hour of our show on the Trump-Putin meeting, interview at 1:35 on Trump-Putin and back at it here. I definitely want more feedback through texts and phone calls. I think it was embarrassing. I think it was one of the worst moments ever by a U.S. president. That when he has Vladimir Putin, the Russian leader, KGB agent, thug, murderer, who, according to President Trump's own top intelligence officials, President Trump's own people, without a doubt, Russia meddled in the election. Without a doubt, more indictments. Now, does that mean the Trump administration colluded? No, that proof's not there. But without a doubt, they attacked U.S. democracy, infiltrated many things. Now, were they able to alter the outcome with actually changing votes? There's zero proof of that. And inundated information, great success at hacking through the Clinton campaign, the DNC, and other areas? No doubt about it. And the president has asked a simple question, and he just failed. Utterly, completely, and totally failed when he was asked the question. Well, do you have that, Lindsay? Did you end up getting that? Why don't we just get to the question right here, just to remind people about it. And Lindsay will play it right now.
Just now, President Putin denied having anything to do with the election interference in 2016. Every U.S. intelligence agency has concluded that Russia did. My first question for you, sir, is who do you believe? My second question is, would you now, with the whole world watching, tell President Putin, would you denounce what happened in 2016, and would you warn him to never do it again?
So let me just say that we have two thoughts. You have groups that are wondering why the FBI never took the server. Why haven't they taken the server? Why was the FBI told to leave the office of the Democratic National Committee? I've been wondering that. I've been asking that for months and months, and I've been tweeting it out and calling it out on social media. Where is the server? I want to know, where is the server, and what is the server saying? With that being said, all I can do is ask the question. My people came to me, Dan Coats came to me, and some others. They said they think it's Russia. President Putin, he just said it's not Russia. I will say this. I don't see any reason why it would be, but I really do want to see the server. But I have confidence in both parties. I really believe that this will probably go on for a while, but I don't think it can go on without finding out What happened to the server?
Okay, I can't take
what
it. I literally can't take
servers
it anymore.
Bought it down. Of the past?
Hillary Clinton lied, in my opinion, should not have been allowed to decide which emails were made available, game the system. I didn't vote for her. I'm tired of the Clintons. Move on. There are many excellent aspects of Bill Clinton's presidency. They served the country. They did it for long enough. She ran a terrible campaign. That wasn't the question. But he's fixated on it. He's obsessed with it. He just hears it as, it's like the words come out of the reporter, two fair questions. And all he hears is, Mr. President, you didn't win. It was rigged. How can you not answer that question so easily and say, I believe in Dan Coats? Dan Coats did not, by the way, his DNI said, I think it's Russia. He says, it is clear-cut Russia. Like all the other top intelligence officials. We just had the indictments the other day. And I still think the timing of that is not a coincidence that it comes out on Friday, just days before the president meets. Where the GRU, these are top Russian agents. No top Russian agent is going to do a damn thing unless directed by the dictator. That's what he is. He's a dictator. Vladimir Putin. And the president punts, and I got a texter telling me what big balls he has. Are you kidding me? He failed. He completely failed. Because he, again, hears you didn't win legitimately. Let's also point out that on the day when he says, Russia, if you hear me, find those emails, they ratcheted up what they were doing. That's a coincidence? I don't buy that either. You can do both. You absolutely can do both. Say I won. Turn over all the evidence. You got to listen to your lawyers on whether you should testify or not. I tell people all the time. He would be such a hot mess if he testified. I mean, the 10-year-old studying law would be able to get the president to twist and turn his story. So I don't see any scenario where he's going to testify because it would be horrible, as it has been when he's testified before. But you answer the question and you look over at Vladimir Putin because the whole world is watching. Mr. Tough Guy, I'd run through fire. I'd punch him and say, Mr. President, my people have assured me that you absolutely were behind the meddling. That will not be tolerated. It will not happen again, and you will face further sanctions. I'd love to work with you in other areas. And if we can work together in Syria, Iran, and other areas. But be assured, there will be further punishment, and we are spending every hour stopping any further attacks in 2018. Because Dan Coats, again, his DNI is saying the lights are blinking red about further attacks. And this is the guy who is going to stand tall and others were unwilling to do it and he'd do it? Give me a break. Trump supporters and non-Trump supporters, what did you think about today? Maybe Trump supporters loved it. Maybe Trump supporters will say, as Dan did earlier, that, listen, he's got to put up with some of this because there's so many other areas where you need Russia. Maybe others will say, we knew this all along. We knew he couldn't stand up. John McCain, what do you call it, Adam? One of the most disgraceful performances by a U.S. president in recent history?
Or in memory.
In memory. Somebody says, where's the server? I think the server and the questions that face Hillary Clinton are valid. I do. I didn't. They're separate. Okay? I didn't believe her. The destroying of the emails. Don't believe those either. That's not the question, though. Do you want to have that separately? Absolutely. But what is happening with the meddling is a separate situation. And it is amazing to listen to smart Republicans who twist and turn and put the lipstick on the pig because philosophically they agree with Republican principles, which there's no crime to do that. A lot of those I agree with. But you got to call this out. How about right before he meets with him, He calls the press enemy of the people. Then he's going to meet with a person who makes journalists disappear. They vanish. We never hear from them again. And he's saying that because he gets criticism. Here, listen, all of us have too many people in our life who are like this, and one of them is the president of the United States, where if you agree with him, you're brilliant. If you disagree with him, you're an idiot. That's how this guy is. 24 past 2. I want calls. I want text. We'll come back. We'll run them, and we'll read them. 651-989-9226. I'm going to call it blazing, Adam. How hot it's going to be. Give me a quick update here on this arrest.
Okay, so the NBC broke this news that the Department of Justice announced the arrest of Russian national Maria Butina, 29-year-old, for, quote, infiltrating organizations having influence in American politics for the purpose of advancing the interests of the Russian Federation. She is charged with conspiracy to act as an agent of the Russian Federation within the United States without prior notification to the Attorney General. She apparently was arrested yesterday.
Hmm.
And a quick Google search on her name, there's plenty of background on her. She is apparently one of the heads, or if not the head, at least the public face of the Right to Bear Arms, which is the Russian, basically the Russian version of the NRA.
Okay.
A pro-gun group in Russia. With close ties to the NRA, and that has she's been worked as a journalist. Background of
are they saying she's been associated with top people here in the states?
There's some articles of one certainly left leaning publications saying that she has hosted parties, including not long after President Trump was elected, that had some members of the transition team at her party, lavish parties in Washington.
So it sounds like it could be very significant, but we just don't know enough about it yet.
Correct.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll continue to follow that. Let's get to four calls here. We can go up 5-6 minutes, and we got a break. We need to get to Arnie Carlson, because Arnie is not real kind. Eric Kaler, once again, on the departing president of the U of M. We interviewed Arnie just before the show started. John's in Buffalo. Go ahead, John.
This latest goof by Trump is just another indication that somebody, I know not you, and I know I didn't vote for him either, I also didn't vote for Hillary, somebody in this country elected a nincompoop for a president. That being said, if we did a compilation of all the treasonous, outlandish, slanderous statements that he's made, someone should be able to find him unfit to govern as president.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
Also, I just want to...
Yeah, a little more on this.
A little more on it. Yeah. This is from the BBC. The charges against this Maria Butina, not related to the Mueller probe.
Okay, separate. Right. Are you a nincompoop?
That's an underrated word.
That is such a good word.
Good word. We're going to work that in. Thank you, John. Ira in the greatest town in America, Golden Valley. So much better in South St. Paul. It's laughable.
Golden Valley is God's country.
It is God. I mean,
fake news.
I don't know anybody from Golden Valley who's not just gold. You know, that's why they call it Golden Valley.
Nice.
We don't got a cow smell, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But
thank you.
I'm flabbergasted by this whole Trump situation. He's the biggest threat to democracy we've ever had. And I can't believe, like you mentioned before, about intelligence individuals, Republicans. And again, I voted for Kasich, and you know, I just am really shocked at how intelligent people will somehow take this information. They're so used to these lies, and it goes on and on and on, and they don't bring anything up. I mean, the Putin thing is incredible. And not believing our intelligence agencies and believing Putin. I mean, he's got the playbook of a dictator, and he just keeps using it. And he has the same, you know, buzzwords of, you know, witch hunt and the liberal
servers,
media, media's the enemy of the American people, and they go along with this. It's very dangerous.
Thank you, Ira. I mean, did you hear the intelligence out of that guy? I mean, I have not heard that intelligence from anybody from South St. Paul.
Oh, stop.
If this was Hillary Clinton today... Sean Hannity, Tucker Carlson, other Republicans, They'd be calling for her impeachment. Treason.
Be treason headlines.
Honestly,
treasonous.
Just admit it. Just want. Just be admitting and saying, I love where he stands on so many issues, but I cannot stand what a puppet he has been to Vladimir Putin. I have no idea why. I'm glad the reporter asked about the compromising information. I have no clue. But there is some reason why he is so tepid towards Putin. Jim, you're in St. Paul, not South St. Paul, right?
St. Paul, right.
Thank you. Thank God.
The thing is, I want to say that was the most disgraceful performance by a so-called president of the United States. I could not believe what I was hearing. I knew he was a traitor. I knew he was an absolute dirty, filthy. I could name every name in the book. He's a liar. And to stand up there in front of the whole world.
Whole world, yep.
And back that lying, murdering SOB and not our people. I just, there isn't a Republican. I can't understand why any Republican would back some piece of trash like that.
Jim, next time I have a stronger opinion. I'd really appreciate it. David, you're on.
Yeah, hey, I don't mean to defend Trump at all because I can't stand some of the things he says too, but I mean, here's the deal. He, you know, when the media has a catastrophe every single night, I just think that the media has to look at themselves and, you know, they discredit themselves because there's always something going on that Trump has done. And I don't know. It's hard to discern right now what is believable and not believable.
Let me ask you this, David. What has happened that the media has fixated on you did not find believable recently? Can you give me an instance or two? Because no doubt there's Trump obsession. You know, part of it is it pushes the needle. Plenty of people are drawn to it. So that's undeniable. But give me a story where enough media outlets, they focused on it and you said, I'm sorry, I just don't believe that.
Well, it's hard to give an example right off the top of my head. I mean, but if you
come on, now, David, you just said that it happens a lot, so you should be able to give me one.
Okay, I flip on CNN. I used to watch CNN all the time, and I can't believe when Don Lemon is on. I mean, it's just like no matter what is going on, they're making a mockery of him.
But give me an example where they've exaggerated or lied about a story.
I mean, you take any issue, even if it comes to the immigration into our country. You know, it's like they're separating families and they're just, you know, it just doesn't matter. Obama did the same thing, but because it's Trump, he doesn't get a pass on anything.
But there were differences. Okay, I don't think there was enough coverage in 2014 what Obama did, but we do have to say in the immigration situation that things did change. Once he initiated the zero tolerance policy, and he has faced sanctions within the courts. Now, do I think there are some media outlets that just literally hate Donald Trump? I think there are. Mm-hmm. But I think the president has to be judged on his words and his actions. And I watched John Bolton this weekend, and John Bolton was asked by Jonathan Carl, well, when the president tweeted out North Korea is no longer a threat, and John Bolton basically said, we can't take the president literally. How is that possible that we can't take the president literally?
Yeah, I agree with a lot of your saying. I don't like how Trump handles himself. I think he has loose lips. I just think the media has got to give this guy a break so they get their credibility back.
Thank you, David. Appreciate the call. 37 past 2. Welcome back, everybody, on this Monday afternoon. Obviously, tons of news today on Donald Trump, Vladimir Putin. We will continue to talk about that and take your comments all throughout the day. But one of the big stories on Friday, with a lot of people still talking about it, is Eric Kaler, somewhat unexpectedly, saying he will step down as the president of the university as of July 2019. A man who has been very pointed, very direct, very specific in his criticism towards Eric Kaler is the former governor of this state, Arne Carlson. Governor, always a pleasure. Just recap your view on the terrible loss of Dan Markinson, why you felt like Kaler was complicit in what happened years afterwards, and why, because of that story, you felt like Kaler should not be president at the U of M.
Well, I think it goes back to the origin of the drug testing program. Drug companies look at universities because of their credibility to conduct research. And they bring in patients, if you will, and those patients have rights. All too often, many of them have some mental problems. And so it's very imperative that their full rights be protected. In the state of Minnesota, when this program started, I think we've had a total of 5, maybe 6 suicide deaths. Years ago, one of our professors was indicted in federal court and sent to prison. So any president, any board of regents should know that you pay special attention to drug testing. When Kaler came in, he was given a dossier by 2 professors at the University of Minnesota outlining their concerns with drug testing, particularly focused on the Markinson case.
Because, just to remind folks, Markinson's death had happened well before Eric Kaler became the president.
Yes, that's correct. But he was brought up to date via the information that was given by 2 Minnesota professors. Yet Kaler consistently put out stories to the effect that the Markinson case had been fully investigated by a whole bunch of authorities, and those authorities found that nothing had happened. It turned out, with the legislature requested an audit by the Legislative Audit Commission, they couldn't find any evidence of some of these investigations. This is a pure fabrication on the part of the university. It involved President Kaler, it involved his staff, and it involved the Board of Regents. Now, that's not a misunderstanding. That's a lie. That's a direct attempt to tell the public something that is totally untrue. And then he went on to deny that he knew anything about the Markinson case prior to his arrival. Well, 2 professors at the university have evidence that they sent the information to him before he arrived.
So let me ask you this, sir.
I personally met with him and went over that case with him as well. So he was fully informed.
So are you saying that when the investigations were taking place and it went as high up to his office, that he knowingly directed the lies or he allowed these to happen under his watch?
Both. Both. And this was verified by the legislative audit report. Now, their language is more polite than mine.
Yep.
But I have problems with the fact that we have lower standards for the president of the University of Minnesota than we do for students.
And what did he say when you met with him?
He spoke very little, and when he did speak, it was always that this is the first time I've heard of this. In one instance, I brought out where the committee that's charged with the oversight had as his chairman a person who is in the payroll of the drug industry that they were supposed to review. It was well over $450,000. He expressed surprise at that. But I ask you as a reporter, what were the consequences? There are never consequences when higher-ups commit these kinds of, what would I call them? I don't want to call them crimes, but they should have been reported to the Hennepin County Attorney's Office.
So why would the board, when they know what an enormous story this was, it's a loss of life, it is something that the university has been a part of for a long time, if they felt like the president, his staff, and other powers-of-be were either trying to hide the truth, were lying about it, why wouldn't they call for his head and others to be dismissed?
Well, that's a very fair question. Now, I put out to the Board of Regents, to the president, and via the public on the Star Tribune column sometime in April, I think it was 2016, a column calling for the dismissal of President Kaler and outlining the rationale behind it. Nobody responded. The Board of Regents was asked time and time again to conduct a public hearing. To this date, they have never done that. They refuse. The truth of the matter is the departure of Kaler, putting aside all of the negativity, gives the university and the legislature an opportunity to start new. One, as a public policy, we, the public, should be entitled to know the full cost of his, quote, retirement. As I read the paper, he's going to get full salary for 1 year sabbatical. Mm-hmm. Why does an administrator get a sabbatical? Two, another year where he's going to, quote, fundraise. And again, I believe at full salary. And then a full professorship at the University of Minnesota. We don't know how many courses he's going to teach, how many hours a week, or at what salary. It would be my hope that the Board of Regents representing the public interest would fully disclose each and every part of this financial transaction. I believe it comes out to about $1.5 million. In addition to that, his pension. His pension is infinitely more generous than that given to anybody else in public service.
Former Governor,
the public is entitled to know what they're paying for. That should not be wrapped in secrecy. The other part is we have a pending lawsuit against the university and against President Kaler for the handling of the football players.
Right. Yep.
Remember those 10
mm-hmm.
players that were accused?
Right.
Well, several of them apparently were not even near the scene of the so-called crime. And there is a lawsuit pending. My guess is that the university, rather than go through the process of deposition, where they would have to tell under oath what they knew and when they knew, will probably settle. And once again, the public will be stuck. We should know precisely what the terms of that settlement are. Is.
Former Governor Arne Carlson, with direct and pointed criticism of Eric Kaler, who's stepping down from the U of M as president, but as Arne just pointed out, he will be a part of the administration still for multiple years. If you can put the Markinson story aside, and it's an enormous story, yeah. We can hear your passion on it. How would you value Kaler for the other aspects of his duties?
Very poorly. I worked with President Udoff. I'm familiar with him. I thought he had a vision for the state of Minnesota, for the role of the University of Minnesota, and he was very public about his concerns and where he wanted to take the university. With President Kaler, it's been secretive. It's been from an administrative perspective, is every time there's a problem, and God knows there are plenty of problems, the first reaction is, what do I do to protect myself, not to handle the crisis in a truthful and open fashion. And so it's been secretive. Professors have been trying to get information, and they have to. And the process is incredibly slow and very, very tedious. So there's been a real lack of openness. No, I think it's been an appalling administration. And that does, and a lot of the responsibility rests with the legislature, because the legislature refuses to open to public hearings and to allow critics like me to appear behind the podium and ask questions, because the legislature appoints the Board of Regents. And from where I sit, the Board of Regents serves the president, not vice versa.
Why, if you are this specific in your criticism, and no one who knows you, who has paid attention to you for decades, doubts your love and your passion for the University of Minnesota, if this is going on, why are the Board of Regents, those individuals, why are they allowing this to continue?
I think you have to ask them. I'm stunned. I mean, I asked one of them to step aside, and he said, of course, that will never happen. And he's right. It won't happen.
Yep.
But they're not serving the public interest. The whole thing gets down to protecting mediocre outcomes.
Are they looking just to protect their jobs?
Questions. I remember, and I can't think of the gentleman's name, but I remember when one of the leaders of Johns Hopkins Medical School came to the university to head up our medical complex. You remember that?
Yep, yep.
Well, he left and went to the University of Iowa. Now, isn't that interesting? We paid absolutely no attention to that move. What happened? I mean, that was the center of all this controversy. It goes to the rankings of the University of Minnesota Medical School. What happened? Normally, most people don't consider going to the University of Iowa as a big step up. So something must have happened, and we, the public, are entitled to know. we, the public, have to insist on total openness in our government. We pay the bill, and we're entitled to know how, when, where, and why our money is being spent. And we have too many jurisdictions, not just the university, but a lot of government entities that basically deny the public the right to know how their money is being spent.
Sir, it's always a pleasure. We've talked a number of times.
I hope I wasn't too controversial.
You were just the right amount. Arnie, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on.
You bet. Thanks.
Former Governor Arnie Carlson, continuing his direct criticism of Eric Kaler, something that he shared on this show, Star Tribune, and elsewhere. You want to react at any point, you can. 81807, that's how you text, or call 651-989-9226. Back in a moment. Your Lindis construction time check is 2:57. Time to learn why Lindis has served over 75,000 happy customers since 1979. Appreciate the text, 81807. You can also send me emails, praise, criticism, golf invitations to great golf courses, Cypress Point, Pine Valley, Dirt on Lindsay. All that can be sent, chad.hartman@entercom.com. More on Trump Putin tomorrow, plus our friend Jamie Yuccas.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.